You're with SBS Radio.
Wearable fitness devices have gained popularity in the last few years, and predictions are that they will continue to grow in the next decade. The market is expected to reach $150 billion in 2026. The point we're specifically talking about today, however, maybe has less to do with the number of steps and more to do with who is monitoring those steps. So how are insurance companies using the tracking devices that we carry around with us?
So basically, fitness trackers have been adopted now or are being adopted by different commercial institutions, insurance companies, and other companies as well. And insurance companies are integrating them basically in the whole value chain. And that starts with creating new sales opportunities. It goes into developing new products, new offerings for our customers. It affects their marketing and communications, their policy administration, underwriting, and also then, of course, risk assessment and claims management.
So what are some concerns that are coming out of this with, as particularly we're talking about health insurance and premiums and sort of this incentive that if you are more active and if you do share your data with health insurance, that you get some sort of discount or reward as a result?
So we conducted a study with consumers and asked them about their likes and dislikes, and we found out that there are several concerns, and they are related to privacy issues and also fairness aspects. So consumers are generally concerned about the data usage of the insurance. For example, is it very transparent why they are going to use this data, what they are going to use with it. So where is this data stored, for example? Who can access this data? We've heard, of course, about certain breaches with a number of different companies in the last year. So and then also there is the aspect, will this data be sold maybe to other third parties that I'm not aware of at this point?
What would you say is propelling this need to integrate these two things? Because these trackable devices didn't come about necessarily as a way to monitor business or to drive a public health interest. It was made as a personal device where, you know, you could track your own health. Why are suddenly insurance companies and health insurance companies taking interest in this?
Yes, so I think that's correct. So of course, we have seen a change. It's basically a growing phenomenon that consumers are interested in managing their own health. And I think that's also a good aspect if you consider societal problems that we have if we face a growing trend of obesity, for example. So the health industry, clinicians, insurance companies, I mean, they have a interest that, of course, consumers are taking more responsibility of managing their own risk. And the idea is basically that this would reduce the overall health cost for the system in general. So there are some positive ideas in this whole, self-tracking. Of course, this has moved now from individuals who just want to manage their own health to also businesses trying to get access to more big data. And I mean, it's clear that they want to improve their business decisions. They want to offer better services. So we see that you can get certain incentives if you want to participate. So there are some clear advantages for consumers at this point. The question is only what happens if this becomes potentially mandatory. This type of data is not regulated as it's not considered medical data. So I think the issue is that legislation is generally behind how technology evolves. And so that's, the idea that we need to have a growing debate about this aspect of data security and privacy in general.
And that was sort of my next question. Legally, I'm assuming that this is probably a bit of a nightmare at the moment, because how do you decide the commercial sector is allowed to ask from the public? You know, is it suddenly going to become, can they ask for it to become mandatory that everyone wear a personal health tracking device?
Right. So I think we are still far away from this point that it becomes mandatory, but you can see this, for example, in other countries where you have, of course, more technology, how consumers and citizens are observed, for example. So I guess it just raises the issue in general that what happens with this type of data.
And what's the situation in Australia currently? The Christopher Walken Qantas ad caught sort of everyone's attention, but is the population here supporting this initiative of that's being offered incentives for sharing health data?
Yes, I think that consumers in Australia are quite willing to share data. That's my perception. And when we look back at the campaign with the Christopher Walken Qantas Assure initiative, I think this was quite popular. People very much liked the campaign. They talked about how funny the campaign was. They did not really talk about any privacy concerns at that time. So I think consumers do not really make the mental connection between like that I'm sharing all this biometric data and that is a potential threats that could happen actually with how this data is used at some point.
You were talking about that there were in some instances breaches where the data wasn't used for exactly the way it was disclosed. Was this happening in Australia or globally, and what was the situation?
In this case, I was referring to some global examples. So I think we all know or remember the aspect with Facebook. Marriott hotel chain was another global aspect. So there have been a number of global companies that have been hacked in recent years. So, and I guess people still use Facebook, even though they know that the data has been hacked. So I think that consumers have become sort of used to the idea of giving up their privacy. Technology, smartphones, wearables have become very much ingrained in our consumer lifestyles. So I guess it's sort of a trade-off that we almost accept nowadays. But the question is like, how much more can happen with this type of data before legislation maybe has to step in?
Yeah, so the next step, I mean, we can't obviously run from a world that's integrated in technology. So the next step would be to really focus on legislation and regulation to protect consumers.
Yes, I think it's basically a balance that we have to find, because there are some benefits, of course, that we see with this type of technology, that we want to reduce the costs in the health system, that we want to improve the health of consumers and have them to be more responsible about managing their own health. But of course, then there is this trade-off, like what happens with my privacy, what happens with the data that's collected. I think Australia might have to follow up with legislation in Europe, where I think privacy rights have become more stricter than compared to the United States, for example.
And in an ideal world where the data being shared isn't being manipulated further, could this be some way a big solution? Financial incentives of this nature, could they create a healthier, better functioning society?
I think that is a good question here. There's something we have to consider. So right now we found that people who have a personal affinity to Self-Track, they are quite excited about this idea and to get a financial incentive, of course, and get a discounted Fitbit, for example. But they also mentioned then someone who is already lazy, who's lying just on the couch, not doing any activity at all, this person would not be motivated, of course, to participate in this kind of program. Of course, they would not get the benefit as well. But then the question is like, would this lead to a potentially digital divide, like people who have wearables versus who don't have them or cannot afford them, for example?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to consider. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Sure, you're welcome. Thanks very much for having me.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.